Okay, good evening. Would like to call the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Today's April 24th, 2024. Let the record reflect that it is 6:22 p.m. Today we have present Speaker Tilton, Representative McKay, Representative Groh, Representative Gray, myself, Chair Carpenter, and Representative McCabe. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'd like to remind committee members and those in the audience to please silence your cell phones. Lori Rowland with House Records and Zachary Lawhorn with the LIO will be assisting us, and Kendra Broussard will be the committee aide assisting the committee. The evening plan tonight is to adopt the ACS-4 sponsor substitute for House Bill 194, consensus estimating conferences and budget. We'll then take up public testimony, and unless there's any objection, I would like to move that bill out tonight and get it onto the next committee referral. So there is another bill, Senate Bill 21, in the other body that amends the Executive Budget Act, and it was not a companion bill to this bill, but in a similar spirit, it adds specifics to the act that would require the executive branch to provide information that is far more detailed and useful in the budgeting process. This CS would take sections of Senate Bill 21 and combine them with House Bill 194. And I think we're ready to adopt a CS. Representative McCabe, can I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 194, Work Draft 33-LS0648/Romeo as our working document.
And I will object for purposes of discussion and ask my staff to come forward to help us with the sectional analysis. Introducing the CS, I mean, and which would include a sectional analysis.
To the chair, my name is Kendra Broussard, staff to Representative Carpenter.
Please proceed whenever you're ready.
So Section 1 amends the Fish and Game Fund to conform to changing the section in the Executive Budget Act regarding budget preparation in this bill. Section 2 amends fiscal note requirements to allow the sponsor for a bill or committee to request a special impact estimating conference to evaluate a fiscal note. Section 3 adds a new section that allows a special impact estimating conference to evaluate fiscal notes and prepare a new fiscal note to replace any existing fiscal note for a bill. Section 4 adds to the duties to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to adopt a method of measuring results for state agencies and to provide the measures to the Governor's Office of Management and Budget. Section 5 amends the Statement of Policy for the Executive Budget Act to include strategic and performance plans and setting and measuring programs and financial goals. Section 6 adds to requirements for the legislature under the Executive Budget Act to review the performance and financial plan approved by the governor and to organize the budget by service and program area and to include the service or program cost and the desired measurements for each. Section 7 requires the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to adopt a method of measuring results for each agency and to provide the measures it has set for each agency to the OMB by August 1st each year. Section 8 amends requirements of the legislature to foster results-based government, to clearly identify service, program, and financial goals and desired results, and to assign service or program measurements for agencies and to assess progress towards these goals. LBNA will assign methods for measuring, reporting, and evaluating results. Section 9 amends the requirements of the governor under Article 3, Section 1, and 16 of the Constitution to approve strategic and performance plans for each state agency and use the financial goals and desired results to implement and execute the law. The governor shall review the agency's strategic and performance plans and approve or require the Office of Management and Budget to revise them. The governor shall ensure that each agency complies with the service and program measurements and achieves the desired results identified by the legislature. Section 10 amends the requirements of the governor in preparing the governor's budget, requires the budget be organized by program or service of each agency and include service and program cost and desired results for each. Each service and program expenditure request must include detailed unit cost and performance of the service or program expenditure. Section 10 also changes the governor's budget submission deadline for a newly elected governor from December 15th to January 15th. Section 11 requires the governor's budget to include projections for the 3 succeeding fiscal years rather than 10 succeeding years. Section 12 requires the proposed governor's budget expenditures in the budget not to exceed estimated revenues for the succeeding fiscal year. Operating expenditure may not exceed official estimates of recurring revenue. This provision will allow non-recurring revenue to only be used for capital projects or for savings. Section 13 adds a new section of the Executive Budget Act to require the governor to submit an alternative budget plan for the next fiscal year and projections for the next 3 succeeding fiscal years based on the average price per barrel for Alaska North Slope crude oil for sale on the United States West Coast over the preceding 10 years. It also requires the governor to submit an alternate budget plan based on $70 per barrel for Alaska North Slope crude oil. Section 14 adds a new section of law that creates a consensus estimating process. Consensus estimating conferences are created in the legislature for economic and demographic forecast, revenue estimates, and expenditure estimates for education, criminal justice, social services, and retirement costs. The membership of each conference consists of principals and participants. Principals of the conference are the director of the Legislative Finance Division or the director's designee. Participants include staff of the House and Senate designated by the Speaker and President, and participants appointed by the Governor. Each conference shall develop official information within its areas of responsibility that the conference determines by consensus is needed for the purpose of preparing the state budget. It provides for the procedures of the estimating conferences, including public meetings. Conferences develop official information based on current law following the regular session of the legislature. Each conference shall convene in a final session to revise the official information of the conference to reflect changes made in law. It adds special impact estimating conferences that can be requested by the Speaker of the House or the President of the Senate to evaluate a legislative proposal. The official information from a special impact conference will serve as a fiscal note. Section 15 adds to the duties of the Office of Management and Budget, shall assist the governor in meeting the requirements of this act in the development of performance and financial plans, coordination, and analysis of state agency goals issued by the legislature. OMB is required to submit a 5-year capital improvements plan to the legislature by December 15th each year that must include estimated costs of construction and maintenance, the estimated project timeline, potential funding source, and justification for each project. OMB is required to provide electronic data used in building its budget to the legislature at least 7 days before the legislative session. OMB is required to submit to the legislature by December 15th each year an annually updated 5-year capital improvements program, which must include the estimated cost of construction and maintenance, the estimated project timeline, potential funding sources, and justification for each project. Section 16 adds to requirements of state agencies for each state agency to include in its strategic, financial, and performance plans progress made toward achievement of service, program, financial goals, and desired results issued by the legislature, and to submit these plans to the legislature by December 15th each year. The results of the measures set by the legislature is an achievement of program, service, and financial goals. Section 17 adds a new section of law. Boards and commissions shall submit a financial plan by December 15th to OMB, Legislative Finance, and the legislature. Each plan must include the requested budget for next fiscal year, expenditures made during previous fiscal year, expenditures authorized for current fiscal year, explanation of services, needs for services, and cost of services, the number of total positions employed or under contract, including those for capital improvements. Each board and commission must include a report of receipts and expenditures for the previous fiscal year, an estimate of receipts for the current fiscal year, and an estimate of receipts and expenditures for the succeeding fiscal year. Each board and commission must identify any legislation requirement to implement financial plans. Boards and commissions shall submit an annual operations plan by a date prescribed by OMB. OMB shall review each operations plan for alignment with statewide priorities, appropriations, planning methods, and legislative authority. Approve or require provisions of the operations plan. OMB shall assist in preparations of financial plan, and OMB may prepare financial or operation plans if a board or commission fails to transmit either plan by an OMB-specific date. OMB shall compile and submit a summary of boards and commissions' financial plans by December 15th to a governor-elect. Budget requests from boards and commissions shall include identification of objectives intended for the program and problem or need that the program is intended to address, an assessment of achievement of original objectives of the program, a statement of cost, performance, and accomplishments in each of last four fiscal years, a statement of number and types of persons affected by the program, a summary statement of the number and cost of personnel employed or under contract over the last three completed fiscal years, an assessment of the effect of the program on the economy of the state, an assessment of how the policies meet the objective of the legislature, analysis of services and performance estimated to be achieved over the life of the agency, a prioritized list of the activities the boards or commissions would expect to perform if the life of the agency were to be continued. Boards and commissions shall develop methods for measuring agency results. OMB shall report quarterly to the governor and legislature on operations of the boards and commissions. Section 18 adds to requirements for the governor's budget recommendations for the governor to identify 3 to 5 statewide priorities, include agency performance plans that implement the service, program, and financial goals. Recommended measures for determining whether those goals have been met and an assessment of whether prior year goals have been met. Section 19 and 20 adds to program execution, conforming language to include strategic plans and service program and financial goals to agency programs execution requirements. Section 21 adds to programs execution to require OMB to review strategic plans to determine that the plan is consistent with the goals issued by the legislature and approve or revise those plans. Section 22 and 23 is conforming language to change agency operating plans to strategic plans. Section 24 adds a new section to this act to create agency performance plans and financial plans. Each agency shall develop annual performance and financial plans consistent with the strategic plan. They must be submitted to the Legislative Finance, the Senate, and the House by December 15th of each year. The performance plan must include a description of the agency's program structure and any proposed changes, identification of each program, constitutional and or statutory authority, a program purpose statement, which describes the service provided, the customer served by the program, the benefit or intended outcome of the program. Each plan must identify performance measures which contribute to progress towards the agency's strategic plan, identify goals and objectives that each performance measure corresponds, identify results for each performance measure over the past four fiscal years, and identify performance targets for each performance measure for the succeeding fiscal year. Each plan must include revenue and expenditures for each program for the prior four fiscal years, breakdowns of revenue and expenditures for each program, estimates of revenue and expenditures for current and next fiscal year, budget requested to carry out proposed plans of the agency and succeeding fiscal year, expenditures authorized for current fiscal year, expenditures proposed for the succeeding fiscal year, number of positions employed or under contract, cost of service provided by each program, a report of receipts of agency for expenditures made during prior year, estimate for current year, and estimate for next year, identification of legislation required to implement the proposed financial plan. OMB shall assist in preparation of financial plan and OMB may prepare financial or operation plans if a board or commission fails to transmit either plan by an OMB-specific date. OMB shall compile and submit a summary financial plan by December 15th to a governor-elect. Section 25 amends Section Statute 44-66050A, Legislative Oversight, to include reference to the new requirements of boards and commission. Section 26 is a repeal Alaska Statute 3707-014F. Section 27 is the effective date for Section 7, LBNA to set program measures, is July 1st, 2025. And Section 28 provides an effective date of July 1st, 2024 for the remainder of this act.
Thank you, Ms. Broussard. That's a mouthful.
Give her a glass of water.
Appreciate that. So there's a lot there. The Executive Budget Act, I call this an Executive Budget Act rewrite, even though it's not the title and it's not completely accurate, but it is, kind of summarizes the general gist. I like to think of the Executive Budget Act as a similar to a standard operating procedures that some might be familiar with own businesses and agencies and that type of thing. It is supposed to defines how our government is supposed to communicate with each other and operate. So when we have issues with data that we don't agree with each other on, or it's bad data, or data is not timely, assumptions, we have conflicts between the two branches on assumptions that are used in financial matters, budgeting matters, fiscal notes. We have conflicts over fiscal notes. And we just recognize that the results that we're getting from our organizations are something that we don't we recognize need to improve, or we don't even know how to measure them because it's not being communicated appropriately. That's all crafted in the Executive Budget Act currently, and it's not working well currently. So this rewrite, with 3 weeks left in the legislature, is a heavy lift. We need more legislators to want to care about improving the quality of our government and the results that we're getting from it through a management framework. And that's what this bill is supposed to help us get to, is a better management framework. I'm under no illusions that this heavy lift is extremely heavy for the rest of the legislature to care about in the next 3 weeks. I'm under no illusion. But it's important that this bill gets passed out to the next committee so that we can advocate for better management with others in another forum and then take up those conversations. So, questions? Representative Groh? Statements as well.
More of a statement, perhaps. I commend you, Mr. Chairman. There is much good in this legislation, and I appreciate your efforts. This legislation is management-oriented, as you said. It's likely to generate more useful data in helping our state run better. And also, to talk about something that I talk about a lot, help fix our structural deficit. I do have one bone to pick, but it is important. In the description of Section 12, there's a discussion, but it's called, it's a statutory spending limit. And it's a long explanation, and you have a lot of materials, but that's in the sponsor statement. I would humbly submit that that's not quite an accurate characterization, or at least I think it needs to be understood in this context. It's we're talking about the governor's budget, because often when we talk about spending limits or spending restrictions, we talk about on the legislature's power to appropriate, which is, of course, the only body under our Constitution that can appropriate. This is a limit on what the governor's budget can propose, not what's appropriated. Additionally, I want to say right up front, it's discriminatory. It's a limit only on the operating budget when all the evidence is suggested, is shown, not suggested, that the things that spurt the most in high revenue years and high revenue periods are the capital budget and permanent fund dividends. So I would just note those two factors. And so I can only say, I'm sometimes reluctant to bring this up because I often think that my proposals are too conservative for some members of this committee. And it's a problem, and it's a burden that I have to carry. But I would commend, and it's not in this committee, House Joint Resolution 23, my constitutional proposed constitutional spending limit, which is in the Judiciary Committee, and House Bill 348, which is a statutory version, which as providing an effective, comprehensive, and non-discriminatory actual spending limit that would work. Obviously, on this committee, not going to take action. It seemed wrong to me to try to write an amendment to import it in here. I did not do so. But once again, Mr. Chairman, I want to commend you on your work and the staff on for your work on this legislation.
Thank you, Representative Groh. It would be an unusual day if we agreed upon everything. And that's okay.
Can I clarify?
Ms. Hardwin, go ahead.
Through the chair, Representative Groh, good question. The current law says proposed expenditures may not exceed estimated revenues for the succeeding fiscal year. What we've added is that expenditures for agency and statewide operations may not exceed official estimates of recurring revenue. So the reason that's tied to operations and not capital is that non-recurring revenue can be used for capital projects. So that was just an addition to the balanced budget requirement to say, in addition to that, the operating budget has to balance with recurring revenue sources. Other states do that. And one example that may not be obvious of what recurring and non-recurring is, some of it's obvious. You know, when you're getting some money for a one-time folks, and that's the type of thing normally in other states and in Alaska you would use probably for capital projects or savings. This would require that to happen. In addition to that, revenue estimating conferences in other states will say if your oil prices are unusually high, then that's non-recurring revenue and it shouldn't be spent on agency operations. So that's the explanation for that section.
I hadn't described it in my own mind, Representative Groh, as a spending limit. More than just a better way to communicate the budget between the two branches. And I failed to recognize that Representative Allard joined us at probably 6:40 or maybe 6:35. She's been here about 10 minutes. I thank you for joining us. All right. Okay, other questions or comments? Representative Gray?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a philosophical question and then I have two more nuts and bolts questions. So when we hear the entire sectional, I hear a lot of talk about the need to establish performance plans, the need to establish operations plans, the need to establish financial plans, the need to establish strategic plans for all of our boards and commissions. Mm-hmm. And to me, and maybe you can allay me in my fear, it sounds like death by bureaucracy, that you're going to have somebody who's just going to be working on all of these plans all the time. And in my experience from the military, we have folks who are great at bureaucracy, who can write out beautiful plans, and they turn them in on time, and they get great reviews, but they're not actually doing anything. You know, like, you can write beautiful plans, but are you executing them? And so my fear with listening to the 24 pages is that we're going to be establishing this bureaucratic burden on these boards and commissions, that some of the boards and commissions will execute beautifully, but it may not mean that they're actually achieving the goal of the board and the commission. And some of the ones that might actually struggle with getting these plans out might actually be doing a good job. And that's kind of my fear. That's my philosophical question.
Okay. Representative Gray, I will do my best to respond. As a former operations officer and the guy who generates the plans within the military,
we have a word for you guys.
I understand where you're coming from. What I would say is that it is possible that organizations can wing it and do good and do right. But in our bureaucracy, I think that's few and far between. I think it's more likely that if we don't have a strategy and we don't have a plan, that winging it is going to result in waste and inefficiency. I understand what you're saying is in regards to a list of performance things. Those aren't the performance measures aren't something that you do every day, every week, every year. It is something that you do once and review periodically in order to make sure you're headed on the right path, right? We're already supposed to do that to a certain extent. And it's hit or miss as to whether we are doing it. So we all sat through a budget subcommittee process, and I don't know that any of us enjoyed that. If we were actually doing some of these things, performance measures, and those measures were being communicated to us in the subcommittee process, it would make that process much more effective than what it is now. So I completely understand where you could get overcome by bureaucracy. There's got to be a happy medium in the management piece, and that's why rewriting the Executive Budget Act to be more effective, because there's some of this that's currently written that's broad and not very clear. I think we've done a pretty good job of trying to narrow that down and focus it so that it is usable and effective to what we're trying to do. I don't want bureaucracy to get in the way either.
Thank you. My second and third question are much easier.
Okay.
To the chair, how many boards and commissions would this apply to? I mean, how many do we have, I guess?
The number of boards and commissions off the top of my head, I do not know that number, but the Executive Budget Act would apply to all of our boards and commissions.
Through the chair, I think that we've said 180 before. Or?
For the record, Donna Ardwin, through the chair, when Ms. Broussard was presenting the Sunset Commission, she showed 180 entities of the state.
Okay.
So that included the boards and commissions, but also the divisions of the departments.
Thank you. So final question is, when I look at page 24, section 25, and that it says that each board or commission, whether terminated, dissolved, continuation, or reestablishment, will have a committee of reference of each house, which shall be the Standing Committee of Legislative Jurisdiction. My fear there, and again, it might be an unfounded fear, is that the Committee of Jurisdiction, a couple of standing committees might be the jurisdiction for a lot of boards and commissions. And my fear would be is that we'd have at the beginning of a session that Labor and Commerce would need to review a high number of boards and commissions and requiring that they all have a hearing with public testimony and the commissioner of the department, you know, like that it might be a big lift for a particular committee. And so I just don't know if there's any mechanism to make sure that one committee isn't going to have to do 25 boards and commissions one year.
Through the chair, Representative Gray, we have a process that does sunset commissions on boards right now, and that's already done by the Legislative Audit Division, that each one of the committees of jurisdiction receives a report. And I would also highlight that there are two other pieces of legislation that might help with this if we were to consider a holistic improvement to state government holistically, which would be a sunset commission who has a responsibility to periodically over time review all of the entities, all of the departments of the government, and our regulatory review division within the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee's purview to help committees of jurisdiction review the changes to regulations over time. That way, the committees of jurisdiction aren't actually having to do all of the heavy lifting, which we all know would not do very good here in this legislative environment that we have. We need help doing that. And so getting the standard operating procedures set correct so that they're usable and mean something, and then some of these other pieces that help with the process, I think would help us so that we're not overwhelmed at the committee level. Ms. Ardwin, do you have something to add?
Yeah, Don Ardwin for the record, through the chair, Representative Gray, the Section 25 in the bill is language that's in current law. The only change in this section is the reference to the new section of the Executive Budget Act.
Thank you. Through the chair, to the chair, maybe. Then I guess we're already required to do this. We're probably not doing it. And I guess my final comment would be is I appreciate what this bill is designed to do. I think it's asking members of committees to care, and I'm not sure that we can legislate them to care.
To the chair, just a comment on that. And if you, I know it's a big bill, long sectional, but if you read the sections that require the strategic plans and performance plans and financial plans, I think what you'll find is that rather than it being type of strategic plans you may have seen in other venues, these are designed to provide the legislature a tremendous amount of information that you don't have now. So whether or not whatever this agency is going to do with them, and they have requirements in this bill for what they need to do with them, but at the very least, you're going to get information for both policy and budget planning that you don't have now.
And I would just add to that to say there is one entity that should be influential in whether we care, and that would be the electorate. So I agree with you that it is up to us to care. The electorate's got to step in and help us with that problem.
Thank you.
Representative McCabe.
So thanks, Mr. Chair. I like Section 2, frankly. I think we have long needed that, and I appreciate you putting it in there. I will have an amendment for that section. I am sick to death and tired of having fiscal notes weaponized against bills. We have enough problem debating them ourselves without involving the department trying to, and it's happened to me probably four times this year alone, where a department took a fiscal note, knowing that I'm a fiscal conservative, and gave it a fiscal consequence that was wildly inappropriate. And frankly, I'm tired of it, and I think we need to fix it. This is a good place, so looking forward to finding a path forward for that.
Thank you. Other comments? Would you object to moving it out tonight and amending it in another committee?
Oh, I thought you had an amendment deadline for...
We're going to take public testimony and try to move it out tonight.
Oh, good luck with that. No, I...
Representative McKay.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. Very quick question. What is the next committee of referral for this
bill? Good question.
Finance?
No,
I was going to help education. I'm just joking. It's commissioned.
Okay, I am going to open up public testimony now. Is there anybody in the room that wants to testify? Seeing none. Is there anybody online that wants to testify? Big old goose egg tonight on public testimony. I will close public testimony. Okay. In the interest of time, we got a floor session that starts in 4 minutes. Representative McCabe?
Mr. Chair, I move to report CS for sponsor
hold on
substitute
second, hold on
holding
hold on
up as directed.
Hold on a second.
Do you remove your objection?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I objected. I'm going to remove my objection to adopting the CS. Is there any other objection to adopting the CS? Then the CS is adopted. Thank you very much for keeping us on task. Representative McCabe.
I'm sure.
I am sure.
Mr. Chair, I move to report CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 194, Work Draft 33-LS0648/Romeo, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there any objection to moving the bill out of committee? Okay, hearing none, the CS is moved out of committee.
You have to read that.
Yep, I'm getting there. My my trusty staff here has put it in my notes. So sponsor CS4 sponsor substitute for House Bill 194 work draft 33 LS0648/R is reported out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note. Without objection, authority is also given to legislative legal to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. Okay, we're going to adjourn, but I need you to all stick around to sign the committee paperwork. Representative Groh?
What's the plan for the committee? And I first want to compliment you again. I'm glad we're not going to, you didn't say we're going to resume the committee at the call of the chair after the forum session tonight. I wanted to say that. But what's the plan for the committee going forward for the rest of the session, Mr. Chair, if I might ask?
We are going to adjourn tonight, and then I will determine that. We do have a deadline for special committees sunsetting or no longer being able to meet, and I need to have a discussion before I answer that question.
Thank you.
We are adjourned as of 6:58 p.m.